Welcome to My Mind, My Voice, stories of people from around the world. See yourself in our stories.
We acknowledge the Ngunnawal and Ngambri people, the traditional custodian of the land on which we meet, and pay our respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. We extend this respect to the First Nations people around the world. Imagine being a 17-year-old and already having experienced sexual violence, cultural and language shock, racism, body shaming and bullying, taken advantage of by older men, child marriage, social isolation, domestic violence, and attempting suicide. I'm Fameda, and this is my story. I was always a happy child and trusted everyone. I was a bubbly girl with many aspirations. Every moment of my being was to bring joy to others. My parents and everyone around me adored me. My world was beautiful, but it soon got turned upside down, the effects of which I recognized decades later. I was also naive and gullible, and my naivety drew the attention of predators with the worst intentions. From the age of 5, I was sexually abused for a long period of time by a private tutor. I was not aware of what I was experiencing and stayed silent until last year, for almost 26 years. And unfortunately, this was not an isolated case for me. I still have not been able to tell my parents, and perhaps I never will. When I was 7, our family migrated to New Zealand from Bangladesh for a brighter and safe future. This was a complete culture shock to me. I felt unaccepted and isolated. I started gaining a lot of weight and got bullied at school, not just for my weight, but also because I looked different. I remember spending almost a year sitting behind bushes during recess and lunch because I had no friends. My lack of self-esteem meant when I was 13, I was approached by a man in his 30s who manipulated me into going out with him. I couldn't recognize that this was not normal. My family found out, and for the first time, I encountered the dark side of our culture. One that includes victim blaming and persecution. I was interrogated for hours by my mom, dad, and my brother. I was physically assaulted by all three of them. I was made to feel like a criminal. They told me we had to leave New Zealand because their social standing was destroyed. Despite everything, I eventually managed to come out of my shell, made friends, and even became quite popular. I started exercising, got fit and healthy. I also felt loved. I remember when I was leaving my school in New Zealand, my friends and some of my teachers cried. We moved to Australia when I was in year 9. I got involved in various school and community initiatives and was loved by many. My self-esteem issues and insecurities, however, always remained a part of me. Life got a lot more complicated, never learning how to deal with my insecurities. As a result, I was not prepared for the next chapter in my life. I met a man at 16 who was soon to become my husband and change my life forever. Yet again, I fell into the trap of a predator. He was 8 years older than me and very charming. He was nice at first, but after we got married, things got a whole lot worse. He abused me physically, emotionally, psychologically, and financially, and made me feel like I was worth nothing. Our marriage lasted 8 years, until one night I called the police. I got married to him on my 17th birthday. As he told me, under Islamic law, it was legal to get married at that age. He called me one day to tell me that he was about to be deported from Australia for overworking as an international student. I decided to marry him, as that was the only way to save him. But to him, I was a mean to an end. For almost a year, my family didn't know about my marriage. But when they found out, they were outraged and deeply disappointed. I was verbally abused, and my brother physically assaulted me. And again, I was broken and frightened. I didn't know what to do. All I did was cry. I felt alone, unwanted, and unworthy. And as a result, I tried taking my life. I moved in with my husband soon after. His abuse worsened every day. I dropped out of school, moved to Bangladesh, and I was humiliated every day by him and his family. He questioned me about everything I did. He compared me with his ex-girlfriend all the time. Nothing I did was ever good enough. Then one day, he physically assaulted me. That was just the beginning of the abuse. Fast forward a few more years, I had applied for his Australian residency, moved to Canberra, and lived with next to no money. I was unable to pay for my course, materials, and travel, and was forced to drop out of my course in interior design. I was on such tight budget. I couldn't even buy a heater or a mattress during middle of the Canberra winter. And the abuse, manipulation, and humiliation continued. Every time I wanted to leave, I was convinced by friends and family to work things out. I was told that this sort of things is normal in a marriage and can be worked out. Eventually, I became submissive and constantly blamed myself for everything. My husband, friends, his and my family and the community broke me over the 8 years I was married to him. I attempted suicide multiple times. I saw no way out but death. I was shackled to my marriage, and the world seemed vested in keeping it that way. My life was turned around by a few colleagues who have now become some of the most important part of my life. Lisa, amongst them, was my biggest rock. Because of them, I was able to break free, not just from my marriage, but from the dark and misguided conscience that stopped me from leaving the marriage and the abuse. They also helped me access a range of support and services, including legal aid, women's support group and refuge, finding a lawyer, time off work, health services, and most of all, moral support. My friend Lisa attended all the appointments with me, and times when the future seemed so surreal, she brought me back to earth. Even when I had no money for the legal battle and nothing to sleep on in middle of winter nights, they provided financial support and gave me a mattress and blankets, which I slept on at a friend's lounge for days. I still wonder now whether I would still be in that relationship or even be alive if I didn't have the support of these friends. Throughout the entire time during my marriage and all the abuse, I never stopped studying and pursuing my career. For me, this was my only avenue to feel like a human. This is where I found recognition, comfort, and light. The more I struggled at home, the more I engrossed myself into studying harder, performing better at work. I knew this is the only part of me that I didn't have to share with anyone. This was my very own. And let me tell you, it has paid off. Because being financially independent helped me see the future more clearly. In South Asian community, people can often justify a husband hitting his wife because he lost control, or the wife has been making his life difficult. We need to change this stance and make sure that everyone understands that violence or abuse is never the answer. I now see violence, manipulation, and predatory behavior as what they truly are. Nobody should have to go through it, and go through it in silence and behind closed doors. I want victims and survivors to know that there's always hope. I have now graduated from university, work for the Australian government, and continue to learn. I volunteer with many social and humanitarian organizations, and also started one of my own. But most of all, I'm a confident, self-loving, and respecting person. Last year, I faced the predator who sexually abused me when I was little. I looked straight into his eyes and told him what he did to me when I was a child. I stood strong while he ran away like a coward. I felt empowered and strong. This was a turning point in my life, and I felt finally I stepped into the light and a huge weight was lifted off my shoulder that I was carrying with me almost all of my life. The other aspect of these experiences that often get pushed to the side or not talked about is mental health. Although mental health issues can arise for various reasons, experiences of violence, neglect, and abuse can be key causes. I was diagnosed with complex PTSD and severe anxiety as a result of my experiences. It took me years to recognize the damage caused to my mental health, but now I'm seeing a therapist and have set myself up on a pathway to recovery. Through all these experiences, I have learned to be resilient and learned to grow. I have remarried to most wonderful, caring and supportive person who genuinely believes in me. I have a dog who I can cuddle and take for walks into the natures to refocus and regain energy. I exercise regularly, do yoga and meditation, eat healthy, sing, paint, and write poetries, and surround myself with a few good friends and family. I know the path I have chosen isn't easy, and it is a lifelong commitment and hard work, and sometimes even lonely. That is why it is crucial to check back with yourself through friends, family, or even psychologists. Julia Baird, in her book Phosphorescence on All Wonder and Things That Sustain You When the World Goes Dark, tells us about the Japanese art of kintsugi, where broken pottery are given a new life by repairing the cracks and fractures with gold, silver, or platinum. The whole idea is to honor and embrace the cracks and rebuild it, to be made more beautiful, stronger, and unique. Hannah Gatsby says in her stand-up comedy Nanette, "Nothing is stronger than a woman who's been broken and rebuilt herself." Like the pottery rebuilt using kintsugi, we too can become stronger and empowered despite being broken by the world. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me, but I know that my experiences have taught me heights of resilience many do not achieve or need. I see the light now, and I hope I can help others reach the end of the tunnel. I share my story to show that there's always hope. To reduce stigma around domestic violence, sexual violence, and mental health, to facilitate dialogues around these issues and its causes.
If you or yourself are dealing with a mental health concern and would like some support, please remember to call Lifeline on 13 11 14. If you are needing interpreting or translating services, please call 131 450, say your language, then say Lifeline 13 11 14, wait for a connection and you'll be connected to somebody who can support you. If it is an emergency, please remember to call 000, and once again, if you require interpreting or translating services, please just say interpreter when connecting. All of this information and more on help services and resources within the ACT can be found on MEAC's website. That's meact.org.au.